Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, 35. And the Apostle Paul, again running to those which are under his stewardship, was informing them and encouraging them not to cast away their confidence. Now, to cast away your confidence, which has to do with abandoning your priesthood. What is your confidence? Well, your confidence has to do with the tools which you're utilizing for your faith, and also to have a good conscience towards God. We also see in that first covenant, okay, that the tools were the confidence of the priesthood. Okay, the tools which the priests used in the tabernacle, which Moses received by the revelation of the Spirit, was for the confidence of the faith of those which served the tabernacle. They understood their responsibility to engage themselves with these sanctified points of contact, wherein God, through these points of contact, would be their shield, their fortress, their high tower. He would be their armor. He would be the captain of the hosts for them. You can read about this in the book of Psalms. Now, what transpired there within that first tabernacle, okay, for the confidence of the saints of that first covenant, is also the confidence for our faith today as concerning the tools of the second covenant. As we utilize the tools of the second covenant, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts, callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, we have confidence within our salvation, knowing what the will of the Lord is. Knowing what the will of the Lord is an important factor for us to have a good conscience towards Him. Okay, now those which are outside a covenant are always wondering what the will of God is for their lives. Okay, so they wander into error. Okay, and wandering into error, Satan dominates them in through the imagination with fables. Okay, everything within the house of Bel is a hit and miss system. All right, hit and miss system, which has to do is that they try to isolate God's compassion towards them. God answers a prayer. They isolate the answer to prayer, which was given to them through God's compassion. Okay, and then when they isolate it, they also take ownership of that with their logic. By taking ownership with it, their logic, they begin to extrapolate another gospel out of it. We can see this happening again and again and again through all the televangelists. God in His compassion initiates goodwill towards those who petition towards Him and regarding a healing or answered prayer. But under the shadow of Satan's kingdom in the house of Bel, those preachers of unrighteousness, not understanding what the record of Christ is, isolate the gifts from the stewardship. When you isolate the gifts of the Spirit from the stewardship, it begins to go into the direction of fables. And we see this today, as the Apostle Paul warned the church, ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of truth, and that the truth itself will be a burden, and that they will freely give themselves to fables. We read about that in Timothy. So, no, we're not casting away our confidence. So highlight the word confidence there in verse 35, Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Okay, now our confidence involves our labor, our sowing, okay, our sowing of faith, and our rest. These elements are included within our confidence, okay, because the peace of God will rule over you and rule in your hearts, okay, through the stewardship and through the activity of your priesthood. Okay, the priesthood of God has been provided for your faith and is tailored to your diligence. The more diligent you are in sowing the things of the covenant, the more involved God will be in your life. The more you sow, the more you grow. Now, as we read on here, we can see the rewards of your sowing. So he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. Also, highlight the word reward there in verse 35, because we're talking about the harvest. Okay, within that harvest is the witness, the peace, okay, and also the fruit and the glory. Okay, that we glorify God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we glorify God through our Lord Jesus Christ? By the things which we sow within the priesthood of this covenant. Okay, that we're bringing forth the fruit of God. So this is what Jesus said. Here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Those which are in rhythm with his kingdom, okay, are those which possess the glory of God in the soul. Okay, the glory of God in the soul, that these are the powers which God has issued towards those that believe. Okay? And these powers which God issues seals your salvation. Now, when these powers entered within your soul, okay, now are ye the sons of God. Okay, so these powers have an effect within a soul, changing your perception of life from that which is the soil to that which is of the spirit, from that which is earthly to that which is heavenly, okay, that which is of carnal nature to that which is the spiritual nature. Okay, we are walking by faith. Okay, we are doing those things which God has issued for us to express himself with. This is his joy. And this is what Jesus says, that my joy might be fulfilled within them. Okay, God issues these powers as a farmer spreads seed within the field. When a farmer spreads seed within the field, his activity and labor is with expectation. He takes confidence within the rhythm of nature. We take confidence within the rhythm of spirit. The farmer takes confidence within the rhythm of nature. Now, James brings this out. Okay, the apostle James brings out that the farmer has long patience in regarding the harvest. Okay, we also have long patience in regarding those things which God has sown within us, okay, that we can be fruit bearers, okay, and receive the crown of our overcoming. These powers are your crown. Okay, these powers are your crown. So, and verse 35, cast not away therefore confidence, which has great recompense and reward. Okay, these are the things which grant us entrance within the courts of the Lord. And when God sees the image of himself within you as looking in a mirror, there is equity to the eye. Okay, there's equity to the eye of God, and there's peace within your soul. Now, with this form of reciprocation and fellowship and communion, there is joy. Because God sees his likeness within you. Now, for you have need of patience, he says there in verse 36. Now, highlight the word patience there, because we're talking about patience as concerning endurance of time. Passage of time is necessary for this reward to manifest itself, that God has set a path for fulfillment. All you have to do is be patient within your priesthood. As you can continually initiate the responsibility of your priesthood, you're awaiting the results, putting a stamp on an envelope and putting it out for the mailman. Okay, you put a stamp on the envelope, put it out for the mailman, and we know, okay, that through the process of that institution, that those things which we have sealed, okay, will be received by the recipient within a certain period of time. Well, God, okay, does the same thing as we patiently endure the passage of time with the tools of this covenant. We await the time of our reward. Okay, and this is what he's talking about right here. Now, you have need of patience. Everything that you requested of God is discussed within the seventh heaven, okay, in the courts of Arbat, okay, where the throne of the Lord is located, okay, in the heaven of heavens. Okay, in the courts of Arbat, everything that, of your petitions and all your prayers are weighed and discussed by the holy watchers and the holy ones, okay, in the presence of God, as they determine the highest and best use of the answer, of how to bring about the answer, and at the same time, okay, that there's a circumcision taking place within your own heart. So we are enduring the time of this joy until the joy is manifest. So you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God. Now, there's no hocus pocus in regarding certain steps, okay, in order to try to achieve the presence of God, okay, in your life. There's no hocus pocus to this, okay? It has to do with your priesthood. Okay, so you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God. Now, highlight the word will of God. Highlighting the word will of God there has to do with that which you're initiating within your priesthood. That is the will of God. The will of God is your sanctification. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. The will of God is your sanctification. Now, not understanding what sanctification is, those in the house of Bel try to, they redefine the word sanctification in the light of their lack of experience, okay, which is a false light. And they bring God down to the level of their issues and relationships and their passions and their intellect. They bring God down to the level whereas they feel they can engage God. Wherein God wants us to come up to his level through Jesus Christ. He wants us to come up to his level, engage him in his court, okay, according to due process. So in verse 36, for you need a patience that after you have done the will of God, that you're initiating these things, keeping his commandments and your priesthood, you might receive the promise. So highlight the word promise there with your highlighter. Okay, the promise again has to do with that witness, okay, the power. Okay, these are some of the things you could write over the word promise there. Now, he's not talking about filling your pockets with gold. That's not what he's talking about right here. He says that you might receive the promise. He's talking about is regarding the gifts of these powers. Now, we can see a list of these gifts of powers, even in Galatians there, okay, regarding love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we're going to see as we read, we'll understand more about what Paul meant there when we read on here about the just shall live by faith. These are the powers. The soul that has these powers, okay, are receiving the fullness of Christ, that we might be filled with all his knowledge. We might be filled with the fullness of Christ. Remember, Paul talked about that. These powers are issued through your endurance and your long-suffering and your patience, okay, with these tools. There are no shortcuts. But the responsibility is that you continue to be steadfast in prayer. Use that first token God issued to you at the time of entrance into covenant, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God gave you that token in order that you can immediately begin to serve him in your priesthood. Not to abandon it, but begin immediately to serve him. Without that token, you can't serve him. You will fall without the token of the Spirit to serve the things of the Spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, without the token of the Spirit, immediately we endeavor to try to please God, rearranging things on the scales of the moral code. We begin to view the things of God through the eyes of the moral code, which is prejudiced. The eyes of the moral code are prejudiced because these are the things which we were raised in. Okay, we were raised in, it doesn't matter if you're religious or not. Okay, you were raised in a certain tradition. Whether the tradition included religion or the tradition was absent of religion. Either one way or the other, it had to do with assigning certain things to the inclinations. You learn the powers of your inclinations, which work with envy and strife, hypocrisy, malice, maligny, okay, emulation. All the powers of darkness works with the inclination through the window of the imagination. Satan rules the perception of the sinner. That's the tethering of ignorance. That's the tethering of death. That's the tethering of the kingdom of darkness, which we are freed from by the token of God, which circumcises our heart of these things. For not only forgiving us of our sin by removing us out of that kingdom, but also removing the power of sin in the flesh. Okay, so we go on here in verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, look in verse 37. Yet a little while, that's a passage of time. After you have set forth your petitions, after you have engaged at the altar of Christ, for yet a little while, and he that shall come. Now, we're not talking about the rapture of the church, even though that can be included within that. But we're talking about and regarding the presence of the Lord to reward you. Okay, the presence of the Lord. And when the Lord's presence, when the eye of the Lord sees faith in your heart, at the time of his arrival, when he comes, he rewards you according to your state or your frame of mind. That's why you keep your vessel full of faith, so that when the Lord arrives, whether it be in the noonday, early in the morning, or late in the evening, because we do not know when the Lord will come, but his presence will be known. And when his presence is there, he observes the state of the soul. Is it a reflection of himself? Okay, or is it in a state of doubt and conflict, being double-minded? Okay, is it nurturing the kingdom of darkness? If you want your reward, okay, you have to set a path of diligence. If you have need of patience, okay, we talked about in verse 36, and then we go on here, for yet a little while, verse 37, and he that shall come after your petition will come for the reward of your faith, and will not tarry, because the Lord is greatly zealous to reward your faith, okay, and he's going to reward your faith with living tokens. Tithing is a dead token. Water baptism is a dead token. Sabbath day observation is a dead token. Circumcision is a dead token. Okay, there is no life in those things which are in the portions of loss. Corruption in those things which are the soil. God cursed the soil after man sinned. Man was removed from the soil, and because he sinned, he's now going to return to his origin of soil, unless that origin has been redirected, okay, by a covenant. Okay, so God gives us a covenant in order to redirect our destiny from that which is of the lake of fire to that which is in the bosom of our Father, which is far better than lake of fire. So in verse 37, again, for yet a little while. So that's the passage of time. Remember he said the word patience. And he that shall come and will not tarry. Okay, now, the saints here are utilizing the knowledge which has been granted to them, okay, through the stewardship. And by this knowledge which we have received, we can draw near with a true heart, okay, in full assurance of faith. Now he talks about that in verse 22. Okay, let us draw near with a true heart, that which possesses the original pattern. And the original pattern is that standard which Christ revealed to us by this knowledge. Now, if your conscience is sprinkled from an evil conscience, then you can draw nigh to God with a true heart. And then he says that your body is washed with pure water in regarding, okay, your priesthood, that you are cleansed, as the Apostle Paul said. Now you're washed, now you're sanctified, now you're justified by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of God. Now here we go on in verse 38. He says, now the just shall live by faith. I like the word just there. Now what's interesting is the Apostle Paul brings in his expounding here the elements of the gospel. These elements are necessary, but these elements severed, okay, from your priesthood is just dead knowledge. The idea of expounding and defining these elements is so that you can understand the machinery of your priesthood. Grace, faith, righteousness, and a seal. All right, sanctification, holiness, okay, righteousness, and justification. Okay, and also regarding the peace, the rest, okay, charity, truth, regeneration, renewing of the mind. These things, if you're severed from your priesthood, is nothing more than an intellectual pursuit. As I said earlier, Paul warned of those, okay, which pursue the knowledge apart from the priesthood. They're ever learning. The loop of their curiosity and the driving force of the God code for increase, okay, without the tools of the covenant and without the priesthood, it's sowing seed on, sandy soil. It's sowing seed on sandy soil. Now Jesus talked about that. Those which the seed which fell by the wayside, okay, or fell among the thorns, okay, or the briars, or fell among the stones. So the preparation of the heart is necessary, and the reciprocation of these things to bring forth fruit to God. Seeking the Lord is absolutely important. There's people that want these gifts and powers of God without the due process of even seeking Him. Okay, these are those people that you're always praying for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit because they really have not sought the Lord. Their curiosity, the knowledge, or even the impact of that grace, okay, they can feel that. But now regarding the responsibility, okay, they want to put the responsibility of the covenant at arm's length. They want to examine it first, whether it's going to be profitable for themselves. But God never asks us for the purpose of examining His gifts. What qualifies us to examine something that is far superior than even our imagination can even weigh? It's not for us to second guess God. It's up to us to serve Him. And we use the tools which God has given to us, okay, in service to Him. He grants us these tools and a reward of positions, okay, and reward of titles, sons of God. So now the just shall live by faith. So highlight the word just there in verse 38. Now the just are those which are what? Free from the law. And being free from law, these are those which have a good conscience, which also the good conscience is the presence of grace. Okay, we're free from the law to serve God, okay, in the presence of grace. Having a good conscience. So the just live by this good conscience. That we do not view ourselves, okay, in the light of the eye, but we view ourselves in the light of His grace. Because the light of the eye is deceptive. Okay, the eye itself is very critical of its own creature. Okay, it wants to examine, it wants to disseminate, wants to dissect, okay, and it wants to, okay, more or less define everything, okay, that is, you could say, weigh and possess the machinery, okay, of carnal things, okay, but that's not walking in faith. Walking in faith has to do with being of God consciousness, the good conscience, the purged conscience. So now the just live by faith. Okay, our lifestyle reflects this conscience. Now when we reflect this conscience, then there's no offense because charity should cover a multitude of sins. By these living tokens, we free each other to serve God without offense. Okay? And everyone that has this conscience is building and contributing to God's house. Okay? Those which have a intellectual pursuit of the knowledge of the things of God, okay, but are not functioning within their priesthood, are not contributing to the building of God. Okay? All they're doing is looking at the house of God, but not entering into it. They're standing outside the door, but not entering into the door. It's like walking through an art museum. Okay, when you walk through an art museum, all you're doing is admiring the art. But the admiration of the art has nothing to do with your contribution to its beauty. Okay? But you're taking it all in and weighing it with your eye. And by weighing it with the eye, what you're doing is you're being a critical judge regarding the aspect, its color, its stroke, okay, or its design, okay, or its author. Okay, you're constantly weighing these things. Okay, why are you doing these things? Because the God code always sets value. Okay, the God code is that driving force to set value. So we want to continue to pursue that which is the highest and best. See, so now in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Our lifestyle continually reflects the good conscience as we continually yield our will in a positive way to the influence of his grace. But now, he says here in verse 38, but if any man draw back, so you might want to highlight the word draw back. Okay, now the drawing back has to do with withholding charity. Withholding charity is committing murder. Okay, in God's eyes, withholding charity is committing murder. Okay, those which are not functioning within their priesthood are committing murder against their brother, as Cain murdered Abel. Okay, now if any man say he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For those that say that they are in service to God, but yet they're not functioning within their priesthood, are committing spiritual murder. A life denier, withholding grace, withholding charity. Okay, they're not contributing, but with a critical eye, they're continually weighing. Okay, whether it be profitable for their aspiration and their moral code. Okay, so Paul, what he says is that he which is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Okay, we're judging spiritual things by spiritual things because we're weighing on the scales of truth. Okay, by weighing on the scales of truth, we can see its value from God's perspective. Okay, so he that is spiritual judges all things. We're continually weighing on the value of God's perspective. Okay, which of course is true charity. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, withholding charity, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, because I will not see any equity in his soul. Okay, his soul will not have a reflection of myself in it. Okay, because God's part of his nature, is the active involvement with his creation. Okay, that is his nature. Now he doesn't have pleasure in that which reciprocates. He only has pleasure in that which reciprocates, gives back. And that's what we're doing. Okay, your priesthood is giving back that which God gives. Okay, for you to offer him. Now the Lord revealed this to us and regarding or watching those things of that first covenant. In the first covenant, that when they harvest the field, they will bring that which God gave to them to the altar. Okay? And when they bring also the firstborn of their flocks, where a bullock or a lamb or a ram or a goat, whatever it is, they're bringing the first fruits. But it is God that gave them the bullock. It's God that gave them the harvest. It's God that gave them the wine. It's God that also gave them the wool. God gave them everything. So God says, what I have given to you, I'm asking for a portion that you would give a portion of that back to myself. Now the Levites and the priesthood, they represent me. They represent me. My face is within that priesthood. Now those that walk by faith behold the face of the Lord. They understanding these powers of reciprocation. That God has also granted us this knowledge, of the knowledge of his grace. That by the knowledge of grace as we receive, we show great gratitude and graciousness for this gift by reciprocating and offering it back to him, as Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils back to Melchizedek. Okay? So our tithing to God, what we tithe to God is what God has given to us, in this form of knowledge. So this form of knowledge is our tithe. All right, let's go to verse 39 here. But we are not them who draw back unto perdition. Now, who are the them? He says we, which has to do with the stewardship, and those functioning the priesthood are not of them, we and them. And the Apostle Paul is putting distinction between two groups of people. The we and them syndrome, as the Apostle John did. Okay, remember the Apostle John in his epistle. Okay, also put differences, okay, as concerning a separation of groups. when the Apostle John spoke of, okay, we are of God. You are of God, little children, have overcome them. Overcome them. See, Apostle John used the same language as Jesus used. The same identical language. As Jesus spoke to his apostles, okay, Jesus is putting distinction between the groups, calling those which not accept his stewardship, because they didn't behold the face of the Lord, he referred to them that resisted as murmurers his stewardship as the them group, the Pharisees, the unleavened. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the scribes. Remember, Jesus said that to his apostles. That's the them group. Then you have the other group called the we group, the us group. Okay, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now the word him there has to do with that them group, the group of them. But we are not of them. Now the them are the murmurers and complainers. A murmurer and complainer, okay, has to do with those which affront stewardship. They affront stewardship, and they also corrupt the knowledge. They confront their stewardship and corrupt the knowledge. That's what Korah did. That's what Dathan did to Moses. They affronted the sanctified stewardship because all they saw was a man, okay, a man with a beard and robes, okay, who were the tribe of Levi. They only saw a man, okay, but Joshua saw the face of Christ, okay, and regarding God's selection. Sure, Korah, okay, had, I say, higher qualifications than Moses, but Korah wasn't called. Moses was. So the individual whom God calls is the qualified one, because the angel of the Lord works with the qualified one. So Korah, not being qualified, okay, was the grouping of the them and the they. Okay, the murmurers and complainers, as the Apostle Jude brings out, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's admiration because of advantage, because of the social position, and because of their singular intelligence and their education. Okay, they hold in captive those which are in admiration, okay, of that position. And Korah, having the admiration of those, okay, which were under him, because he was a chieftain of the tribe and a prince. Okay, so he had a lot of influence. He had his own Bible school going. People would go to Korah's Bible school. Okay, they would sit in his tent, and he would tell them, and regarding the things of the promise. Okay, but not the covenant. Korah was looking at things from a perspective that was corrupt. Okay, many ministers ministers of unrighteousness, do the same thing. Because their perspective is a corrupt perspective. They want to engage with the promise of God's involvement without the due process of covenant faith. Okay, the promise is joined to the covenant, not severed from it. And the promises are those things which God engages for our increase, these powers, which we brought out earlier. Okay, so back in verse 39, but we are not of them, the murmurers, the complainers. Again, those who affront government and have a spoiled priesthood. See, the priesthood was assigned to build the kingdom of Israel. The priesthood was assigned to do that. Okay, that the sanctification that was upon the priesthood would bring peace in the land. But if the priesthood was despised, the land fell to famine, to war, the pestilence, the floods, hurricanes, droughts, and all other kinds of evils, okay, which God would assign to them. Okay, so the priesthood, the purpose of the priesthood, okay, is for God's engagement. Okay, the priesthood being joined to the stewardship, never severed from it. Okay, but we are not of them who draw back. So highlight the word draw back there. So that's the second time he says it here, verse 38 and 39. So highlight the word draw back in verse 38. Draw back the word in verse 39. You can draw a line to that. See, again, that's the group of the them. But we are not of them who draw back. Okay, they're cutting the tether and breaking the bone. They're cutting the tether and breaking the bone. When you break the bone, that means you're the carnal Jacob. Okay, when you stand in a strong leg, you're spiritual Israel. When you stand in a weak leg, which is broken, then you're weak Jacob. That shows the two groups of Christians. Okay, those which are walking by faith are those of the spiritual Israel, being the true Jew. Okay, but those which are walking by sight, okay, and by the carnal things, okay, they are the weak Jacob. Okay, in other words, that they are being the weak Jacob. Okay, they're vulnerable. Okay, they're vulnerable to be overcome by Esau. Okay, the Esau Christians suffering loss. Okay, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. So I like the word perdition, which of course is Satan's kingdom, the house of El. Those which don't continually pursue, okay, the priesthood of Jesus Christ will fall back into the snares of perdition of Baal's house. They'll go back to Baal's house. They'll try to find themselves through the psychology of man. So, but what's interesting, that in the house of Baal, there's many chambers, and every chamber is a different denomination, and every different denomination has its own philosophy of life. There's no truth, but they have a lot of philosophy of life. Okay, so if you go to the house of Baal, you say A, or the house of Baal B, it doesn't matter which house you go to, it's still corrupt. Okay, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. So who are we? But of them, that is those which are in covenant, identifying with stewardship. Remember, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy on two or three witnesses. We see that in verse 28. See, the Apostle Paul is bringing to the attention, okay, of the saints regarding the struggles of Israel. When they despised stewardship, okay, when they corrupted their priesthood, okay, they fell prey to the enemies of righteousness. And that also happens today. Okay, those which despise stewardship, those which are not functioning within their priesthood, will fall prey. God will assign a lie to those that do not believe. Perdition, destruction, isolation, separation, division, independence. The word perdition also has to do with independent, okay, of the whole. Okay, this is what Paul talks about regarding those which cause divisions and offenses in Romans, and also those which cause divisions because of emulation or envy and strife, okay, which we can read about also in 1 Corinthians. Okay, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you see the same thing regarding the house of Chloe. But in verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they all speak the same thing. Now, that's what we do here. We're all speaking the same thing. How is that possible? Because we're all reciprocating this one knowledge, the knowledge which comes through the stewardship. True discernment is tethered to the stewardship. False discernment is severed from the stewardship. True discernment. Now, everyone's crying out, Lord, give us eyes to see, that we can see the truth from the air. Well, if you want to see the truth from the air, you have to be joined to the stewardship. Because all truth stems from the stewardship. That's why Jesus, come unto me and eat. I am the door. Take on my yoke. Nay, drink of me. Eat of me. Jesus was showing the stewardship, okay, is a reference point for all discernment, that the Spirit of the Lord will always confirm these things, confirm and conform to the stewardship, those things which he sanctified. Now look what happens here, okay, if discernment isn't tethered to the stewardship, okay, then your discernment is tethered to what? It's tethered then to your prejudice, your passions, and your independence, which works envy and strife. This is what he goes on here. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. See the word no divisions? The division has to do with the severing, the breaking of the bone, the despising of the dignities, okay, or you say despising of the government of God. Okay, those that despise the government of God will not be joined perfectly together. In other words, they have a floating priesthood. A Balaam, like a prophet Balaam. Okay, like the prophet Balaam. Balaam was a floating prophet. If he would have joined himself to the stewardship of Moses, accepted the yoke of that record, he would have been saved. But Balaam remained severed from the covenant. Okay, even though he's a prophet, he remained severed from the covenant. And his discernment had to do with what he could gain by, which was money. Okay, he looked at his advancement to carnal things, using the gift of God for carnal things. This is what we see happening in the house of Baal today. The house of Baal is full of false discernment. and being severed from the sanctified stewardship, okay, all their discernment is based upon what they could advantage themselves with. Okay, in other words, if they can't advantage themselves with the knowledge of God, then they look at it as being evil. And this is what the prophet Isaiah spoke of. See, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Why would they call good evil? Because they can't pour their aspiration into it, and they can't predict the outcome. They lose control of it. If they can't master it, the control, okay, then they feel it's of the devil. Okay, so they want to take ownership through their logic. They want to extrapolate outcome. This is what the children of Israel did, okay, that fell in lusting when they came out of Egypt. They want to extrapolate outcome. Let's go back into Egypt. There we could predict our outcome. We grew the melons, the leeks, the onions, and we had at least control of our lives. Okay, we lived in rhythm with nature. At least we knew we had peace and security under Pharaoh, even though they are greatly oppressed. But when they came out of Egypt and were under Moses' stewardship, the expectation was tethered to what? Was it tethered to the rhythm of nature? No, nature at this point in time was unpredictable. It was rather dry wilderness. Okay, so the whole discernment had to be tethered to Moses' word, which was tethered to the voice of God. Moses, okay, being the voice of the Lord, okay, was a tethering, and he was the standard for their discernment. So here we can see where divisions come in, okay, as Korah, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. Okay, that's discernment. So those which are in a false religious system are trying to exercise themselves in the gifts of spirit, but it's not the exercising yourself in the gifts of spirit is not trying to initiate it. Okay, it's the yielding to it. It's a yielding to the Spirit, okay, not trying to initiate the Spirit. You can't push the Spirit into manifestation. You yield to the Spirit because we walk by faith, by the yielding. Okay, we're being led by the Spirit. Okay, we're not leading the Spirit. We're being led by the Spirit. So people that write these books on the how-to to get the Spirit of God to move in your congregation and your life are lying to you because they're trying to initiate it, okay, all on the scales of the moral code with the imagination. Okay, so they're taking the truth of God and turning it into a lie. Okay, for it has been declared to me of you, my brethren, by them which are house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now I'm not going to go any further than that, but you can see where divisions come from, okay, and why we talk about as concerning those which have broken the bone. Okay, those which go into perdition. Now I'm back in chapter 10 of Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, okay, but of them that believe. Now, highlight the word believe there. Now, remember what we define believe as? Acknowledging, molding with, and submitting to. Okay, submitting to. Okay, you're taking on the yoke and responsibility of your priesthood, okay, with the token God issued to you for the purpose and the expectation of increase. When God gave you this token, it was a purifying of your soul. It was for the circumcision of your soul, okay, and with the expectation of fruit bearing. Okay, God gives us these gifts for the purpose of an expectation. Now, the person that doesn't use this talent, God will take it from him. Okay, the talents. Remember, Jesus spoke about the talents. Now, we're not talking about humanistic talents. Okay, that which is just manifested through the force of nature. Okay, the force of nature. Okay, the signature of the tree, the signature of a dog, the signature of your pet cat. Okay, that's the force of nature. Okay, the force of nature is upheld by the presence of God. But we live by faith. Okay, we live by the knowledge of God. Okay, by the knowledge of the covenant. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we have to yoke ourselves with this knowledge so our conscience will not sin against God. If you want to have a good conscience, okay, then you have to walk by faith. Okay, and faith puts you in that frame of a good conscience. Good conscience free of offense. Evil conscience, that of perdition. Okay, a good conscience is free of offense, but an evil conscience, okay, is that of perdition. Okay, that is Satan's perspective. All those that have the face of Satan will be cast in the lake of fire. On the day of judgment, as the souls of all his creation are opened, those which have done good, which has to do with the equity of the covenant, okay, will enter into life. But those which have done evil, Okay, we have to receive the reward lake of fire. Okay, where the devil and his angels would be. All those that carry Satan's design within the perspective of life and nurture those fruits of envy and strife, being puffed up, all right, proud. All the things which the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, in Romans chapter 1 as well as in Galatians, as identifying two kingdoms, okay, two different faces. Okay, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe the saving of soul. Now, I like the word saving there, because we know the word saving has to do with a salvaging. Okay, a salvaging process takes place through the cycles of growth. Every revolution of your faith, okay, is bringing forth another power that's going to assist you. It's like loading coal in a locomotive, okay, putting gas in a car. Okay, as you're on a long journey, okay, you stop to put gas in a car. And the idea is that you can continually progress. Okay, you're not putting gas in a car for the purposes of not utilizing the vehicle. You're putting gas in a car for the purpose of utilizing it, okay, as its design was dictated. And this is what we're doing. All these powers that God issues to us is for the purpose of our locomotion. Okay, we are moving forward. We're going down the tracks. We're going to the next station. Every station you go to, okay, is a place of refreshing. Okay, as you continually overcome. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Well, we're overcoming ourselves, we're overcoming Satan, we're overcoming the world. Remember that the most difficult obstacle of overcoming is yourself. Okay, which has to do with all those things that you assessed valuable in life ever since you were born. Ever since you were born, you assessed things and weighed them on a scale of the moral code. Okay, rather you looked at those things, will it be good or bad? That which would benefit yourself would be good. Okay, that which would stand as a barrier between you and your goals, you look at it as bad. And these are the things, okay, which are being circumcised. Okay, God is removing the offense as you continue on your in your forward motion, your locomotion. Okay, going to your next destination using your priesthood. Okay, the power of the Spirit. Now, what's interesting about chapter 11 right here is we get into chapter 11. Okay, that reading chapter 11 first is helping to understand why the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews in the first place. Because reading chapter 11, we could go back to that. If you view chapter 11, which we're in right now, verse 32, okay, it's really a prelude to Hebrews chapter 1. It's really a prelude to that. So if you go to Hebrews 11:32, which we're in Hebrews now, Hebrews 11:32. Okay, so you see Hebrews 11:32. Okay, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, of Samuel, the prophets. Here the Apostle Paul was using these examples, okay, examples of stewardship. So as a prelude to Hebrews 1, chapter 1, okay, God set a portion or a percentage of himself and all these saints, and all his saints, to testify of Christ when he comes. Okay, and also the powers or the endowment, okay, the living tokens of the world to come. God has given these living tokens as our, as a gift to bring us into His fullness. So here, these are powers of endowment, okay, of the world to come. The same thing with the power of the dowry. We see these things in a dowry of engagement between the spouse. You remember reading about that in the book of Judges, okay, and regarding the dowry of Tamar. Okay, Tamar possessed the tokens of her innocence. Okay, that the child that she born, okay, was not a fornication, but of Judah. Okay, and then, of course, Judah realized that the tokens that were given were, he identified them as his, and this is what God will do to us. See, the knowledge which we possess and the fruits which we bring forth are the tokens which God provided for us so that we're not born of fornication. Okay, we're born of the house of God. So we can see, as we read through, okay, that we can see how God put a portion of himself in people and events. Okay, he put a portion of himself in the events of contrariness and of his fullness, okay, in the joy and the inheritance. Now we see in Isaiah 8:18, whereas Isaiah said, "My children, for signs and for wonders." We see right here signs and wonders in the lives of these individuals, these elders, as how God called them and utilized the Spirit which was in them, how the angel of the Lord uniquely used each individual. Okay? So, but the testimony of God
Okay, God put a testimony within all these elders. God put a testimony in the holy ones. Okay, as he did with these, he's going to do it with us. Because all of us possess a sign and a token of his kingdom. We all possess a portion of his fullness. Okay, we possess those things which identify us with a different kingdom. Okay, so as we read on here, we can see we're going to read the lives of these tokens and signs. Okay, a sign and a token was in Enoch. A sign and a token was in Noah. A sign and a token was in Abraham and Melchizedek. A sign and a token was in all these patriarchs. Okay, all the patriarchs here, Moses and Joshua, Judges, as we just read there in 11:32. Samson and Samuel and David, Solomon, all the prophets, Elijah. Okay, God put a portion of himself, a sign and a token, in all these individuals, which represents his uniqueness, his work, which he's also designing in our own soul also. So as we read on here in Hebrews chapter 11, you're also going to be reading about yourself. The powers that you're going to possess during the ninth week. Okay, the ninth week and the true millennial reign of Christ, not the false millennium. Now, the false millennium will be during the seventh week of the Antichrist. Okay, the Antichrist himself is going to claim himself to be Christ when he initiates a false millennium in the earth, a false peace and security. The true peace and security is in Christ when he comes back in the true millennium of the ninth week. This is going to be very confusing to those which are outside a covenant. Because the Antichrist, the beast, the first beast, okay, is going to initiate religious rights, religious laws. He's going to change laws, okay, and regarding constitutions. There's going to be one global constitution and one law, and that's going to be himself, the stewardship. People are going to be tethered to his inclinations and his stewardship, see, okay, which, of course, is unsanctified. The whole world will be under the shadow of the beast. They can't even buy or sell except they receive his mark. Okay, so you can see how everything is tethered to the beast, which is a false stewardship. Okay, but those which are tethered to the true stewardship, the sanctified stewardship, benefit from the kingdom of God. Okay, God confirms the true stewardship by these tokens. Okay, and of course the Apostle Paul brings it out. If you have tasted the good word of God, okay, or the powers of the world to come. And remember he talks about that in Hebrews chapter 6? That is the evidence of true stewardship. He talks about in verse 4 there, enlightenment. Okay, the heavenly gift, the partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, and the powers that will come. That is the true stewardship. Okay, which, of course, talks about, okay, brings forth fruit of God. It brings forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed. Okay, you sow to the things of the Spirit, and you reap everlasting life. Okay, but those which sow to the carnal things, which means instead of building, okay, on that foundation, which the Apostle Paul says, if any man build upon this foundation, well, what's the foundation you're building on? That which has been laid in your heart. Well, what has been laid in your heart? Jesus Christ has been laid in your heart. How? By this knowledge. The knowledge which I'm giving to you is sanctifying you. The knowledge which I'm giving you is justifying you. The knowledge which I'm giving you is washing you. That's why Jesus washed the apostles' feet. And he says, now you are clean. He says, you're clean. Not just because of the water, but you're clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. So here the Lord was showing the transition of stewardship from himself to those whom he has called. Okay, and Peter as that stone or the cornerstone for the apostle, the other apostles to work with. Okay, the other apostles didn't just take this knowledge and wander off. Okay, they worked with that which God selected, the stone, Cephas, the cornerstone of his government. All right, so, but those which bear thorns and briars, those which sow to the things of the flesh, tithing, Sabbath day observation, baptisms, communions, circumcisions. If you're tithed, you have to circumcise too. Okay, those under that first covenant couldn't pick and choose as they saw fit. They had those that do the law have to follow through on it completely. And this was a great oppression to the people. Okay, it was a great oppression to those because they constantly suffered loss with the tokens of Moses, but we continually increase and gain with the tokens of Jesus Christ. Spiritual things unto spiritual things. So those, the thorns and the briars, is that which rejected. Okay? That, what are the thorns and the briars? Well, those were those which drew back unto perdition. Those which have done despite unto the Spirit of grace, okay, and murmured against stewardship, okay, and also were weak in their priesthood, a defiled priesthood, which is, of course, a defiled priesthood would be which is not a sin unto death, okay, but to sever themselves from the stewardship would be a sin unto death. Okay, that is a sin unto death or a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, because you're resisting the Holy Ghost, okay, and redirecting God's goodness, okay, into your own passions, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So in Hebrews chapter 11 here, so we have a few minutes to go and you get your sacrifices prepared. Hey, let's talk about some of these patriarchs right here. Okay, the patriarchs of faith, those which are endured to the end and regarding the knowledge of God. For the first thing the Apostle Paul wants to expound on as he goes into the sixth thought right here, remember the just should live by faith, but what is faith that we're supposed to live by? So Paul's identifying the substance of it. The substance, of course, has to do with the tokens which God has given to us and that which is developed within you by the power of Christ. Now, so let's read verse 39 and verse 1 of chapter 11. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, which is cutting off the tether, okay, and withholding charity, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith, okay, which is saving your soul, you're into rest by faith. Okay, you enter into rest by faith. So the rest has to do, when he talks about entering into his rest, okay, that the God code is no longer struggling for clarity, okay, and for substance to build with. See, the God code is no longer struggling for clarity or substance to build with, because God says, I'm giving you substance through this token, faith. Okay, so when you yield your will in a positive way to the influence of grace, this is a due process or due protocol, okay, for the completion of your joy. Grace, faith, righteousness, and the seal. Okay, so in verse 11, now faith, here again he's talking about faith. The element of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A substance and evidence, because it produces a lifestyle, okay, that is strange, okay, to the carnal mind. It gives a perception that's different than the world's. Okay, the world is living in fear of tomorrow, while we are living in a fear of the Lord. We are living day by day, as Jesus said. Okay, and regarding the heathen are always worried about the outcomes, but the righteous, okay, they fear the Lord. So, and that's why Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. Now, for all these things, the heathen think about. And because they're severed from my light, they've been joined to false knowledge. False knowledge does not give you hope. False knowledge will ruin your faith. It's because of false knowledge, okay, that the heritage of God is buried beneath layers and layers and layers, okay, of that false knowledge. And only the grace of God can awaken that seed within the conscience, so that by the sprouting of that seed, they can now enter into the joy of the Lord. And that's why the gospel is being preached. We preach the gospel for the purpose of awakening, okay, that dormant seed within them, that by upon that awakening, they can be trees of righteousness. Bringing forth fruit. Now, faith is a substance of things sold for. Highlight the word substance and evidence. That substance which God has given, which is a portion of himself, is an evidence of something that's invisible. It's invisible to the eye, but not to our process of initiation. We handle these things every day. God communicates to us every day. His presence is with us every day. The angel of righteousness is right there. The angel of righteousness is right there in order to continually issue to us his grace for our peace, for our rest, for our faith to exercise itself with. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's invisible to the carnal eye, okay, but is visible to those, okay, which have this knowledge. We can see the face of God. Jesus said the same thing, okay, in regarding the Pharisees. They would be the blind leaders of blind. Why are they blind? They do not behold the face of God in Jesus Christ. Okay, they only saw a person. Okay, they saw a person that spoke differently, okay, than all their university and professors spoke. Their universities, the Pharisees, their institutions of learning, they only built on precept and line for the purpose of adjusting the motives of the conscience on a scale of the moral code. They're just adjusting the motive of the conscience. So they're always examining themselves in light of their own moral code, okay, whether they meet the criteria of a righteous person or not. We meet the criteria of a righteous person through faith in Jesus Christ. It's so simple. It's the house of Baal that complicated faith. And the house of God, faith is made easy. Okay, because we're living in it. Okay, we're living by the tools which God has given to us. Okay, if we walk by faith, let's live by faith. That's what the Apostle Paul talks about in Galatians there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're living within light of that expectation of fullness, okay, by the tokens and tools which he's provided for us. Abraham received a revelation, and he was obedient and yielded to that. And we'll be reading about that next week, okay, and regarding the patriarchs, of how God uniquely called forth, separated it, and also, you see, he gave them tokens to work with. Okay, what's interesting is that each individual we're going to speak about here, okay, also had a different kind of manifestation, a unique manifestation in life. From the rapture of Enoch, okay, and also being taken to the seventh heaven, to the ark of Noah, okay, the calling out and separation of Abraham, to the sacrifice and the appointments of these individuals is very unique. Okay, they were just as unique as we are today. They are just as unique in ancient times, okay, as uniqueness which God is doing within you right now by the power of the Spirit. Okay, the uniqueness. So what we're going to do is that we're going to go in more detail about this next week as we continue on in the book of Hebrews, and start again with Hebrews chapter 11. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.